I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. I'm Scott Mitchell. I'm in Draper. Alex Curie is in downtown Salt Lake, and the sun is setting here on a beautiful summer evening. And this is KSL's Unrivaled.
I love how I didn't believe you. I love how I didn't believe you. I like look outside. I was like, huh?
No, it really is.
Well, I know it is.
Yeah, but I have windows facing the west, okay? I can see the sun setting.
mine are facing downtown Salt Lake City, but still – I can see from the studio, and Rachel can attest, when you said the sun's setting here, I looked out like, no, it's not. Like, would I not believe you?
So I took my kids boating.
Yes.
And sure enough, Deer Creek Reservoir.
Yeah.
Look up on the mountains. The leaves are changing, Alex.
No, they're not.
They are? Yeah. I took a picture
like,
of it.
Burn, like when they're on fire, you can't say they're changing. Like, you can't say...
No, they you'll start to see a little bit of color
early?
Change. Oh, yeah, in August.
You know what?
Yeah, the first
I'll tell
part
you
of
right,
August.
I'll tell you right now.
Fall's on its way, Alex, whether you like it or not.
You know, you just said that, and I just got sad because...
yeah, because there's no football.
Well, one of the great moments, one of the, like, my life markers every fall for the past 15 years
November
has been,
1st?
There's that, too. No, that's like third or fourth on the list. No, the one that really comes up is there's always that home game weekend for BYU, and you can battle me about whether or not there's, you know, what has the prettiest view stadium wise here in the state of Utah, but you know Y Mountain when you're looking at the state from Lavelle Edwards Stadium, the color changing when it starts coming down the mountain there. There's nothing better where you go, oh, yes, the fall's here. There's that week, you know, where it's just that – it's a blaze. It's that orange. And we probably won't experience that this year. We won't experience that, hey, it's a fall football game. The leaves have changed. It's September 30, you know, 30th or something, or October 3rd or whatever, and we go, oh, what a beautiful weekend where the weather starts to change a little bit. We're not going to have that. I mean, maybe we do. But
you know,
cannot imagine it happening this year. Like
I grew up in an era where college football was on a Saturday afternoon.
Yep.
And now it's almost all at night.
Right, on a Thursday.
All, yeah, it's all different days of the week, you know, even Friday nights and all that fun stuff. And there was something about it. As you described that, there was part of me growing up and feeling that smell in the air, that time of the year. Being able to play, to watch, it was a magical time for college football.
There's,
and just football in general, I think.
Yeah, there's that point of pride too, where you know I didn't grow up here in the state of Utah, but this will be my 19th fall here, which means it's the most I've ever lived any other place in my life. This is where my kids are from, this is where my wife is from, and this is where my career has been built, right? And there's that amazing moment where maybe that ESPN2 guy or maybe this other guy rolls up and has never been to Lavelle Edwards Stadium in the fall. And they're out there. You know, it's funny because they'll be out there in their pregame or before the pregame. And, you know, they'll push their tie aside and they'll take a selfie or whatever, you know. because it is. I think that people get blown away. They go up to Rice-Eccles Stadium and the hills are right up against them, you know. And you go – you know, for most of these guys to see this type of grandeur, right, to have that kind of football.
Yeah, and you also go to Lake Washington, University of Washington.
Also insane.
Pretty spectacular, too.
Yeah, man. And you know what? Even Pullman, you'll take it right now, Scott. I mean, honestly, Pullman freaked me out.
Alex.
The old wheat fields,
lie.
the football field out in the middle. It's like the football version of Field of Dreams. Like you just go off and disappear into the wheat.
Well, you get up in the press box and you look out to the east, and you can
see Idaho.
Yeah, you can see rolling fields of wheat. You look off to the right, you see the same thing. You look off to the left, and you're like, wow, I can see the edge of town. Everywhere.
You can almost, if you look hard enough east, you can almost see the University of Idaho's football program, playing their football games. It's a beautiful, beautiful part of the country there, Scott. All right. It's that time of the evening where we get to discuss what's going on in the bubble, of course, for the Utah Jazz. And I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen tomorrow, but here we are. It's the Jazz rebooting everything from the bubble. Here we go.
Basketball reboot from the bubble on KSL's Unrivaled.
All right, so the Jazz hoping to go 2-6 in the bubble. If all things go well,
like
tomorrow.
An award, like a congeniality award, or
there's that. Listen,
you know, the worst record award. There's always someone for the worst team.
Just like give them like a bronzed risk piece, you know, from the risk board where you're just like, you're just scheming, you know, over there. Maybe a big chess piece because, Quinn Snyder's one of those guys. Yes, the NBA is actually going to name an MVP from the bubble in the seeding games. They're going to actually give awards out from the seeding games. I don't know why ever you would think to yourself, I mean, this is what they announced yesterday, that they're going to honor the player of the seeding games, okay? First of all, that sounds like some weird Iowa corn festival. The player of the seeding game. You could be awarded the player of the seeding game. The all seeding games team is also something that's going to be awarded. They will have first team and second team of all seeding games teams there in the bubble. Do any Jazz players deserve? First of all, I think we can all agree that Damian Lillard is the MVP of the seeding games already. This is a guy who is earning his team into the playoffs by himself, basically. A 51-point game the other night, a 61-point game the game after that, and there's no way we're going to be talking about anybody else. But you're going to see guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo, James Harden.
Man, is...
Look, Luka Doncic has been scoring like 36 points a game. I mean, this is none of these guys. I don't know. I haven't seen any Jazz. Is there a rookie of the bubble? Rookie of the seeding games? I just can't. I don't know where they're going to go with this, but they've got a coach of the bubble award as well. So I don't know. Very exciting stuff. But 8 games seems like it's a weird thing to start awarding these guys with.
It's a hard award to announce the all seeding games team. That's weird. All seedings, it
doesn't roll off the
all
tongue.
All seeding MVP.
Like, you're just basically saying 8 games. Where in the world do we go 8 games and then we're going to, I mean, it seems like it's a fake thing. I mean, if you maybe have like a Christmas tournament and somebody could win that, this doesn't even feel like that because nobody's actually trying to win these games.
See, it should be like a giant replica of a watermelon seed, just kind of in the shape, and it has the same color.
It's a bronze statue of a guy spitting a watermelon seed. Well, all right. Okay. Scott, we're going to come right back. We've got more to go. A couple more segments here on the program. When we return, we're going to talk about the NFL. Should they encourage snitching? Inside the NFL, Scott is going to have his opinion on it. And then we got the 2-minute drill. You don't want to miss it. Stay right here with us. KSL's Unrivaled continues on KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.